We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Morning, everybody. It's nice to see you. There's a lot more of you than I expected, so I appreciate that. I am Brett from We Talk Comics. We run a podcast here in Calgary. A little while ago, we did a program called The Scriptments, where we decided to dig up a whole bunch of unproduced movie scripts, and we did silly readings of them on our podcast. We thought it was so much fun that we thought everybody else would think it was a lot of fun. And you know what? Your attendance has proven that. Thank you very much. All right, so the one thing that I will say, just for the children in the audience, is some of the scripts do have a little bit of language. So if you have a problem with that, then cover their ears, cover their eyes. By the way, Mo's on the panel, so cover your eyes. Anyways, the first
one. Once you get to know me, you won't feel sorry for me, don't worry.
The first script that we're going to be doing is the Green Lantern script that was going to star Jack Black. And for those of you who are familiar with the comic books, it's loosely, very loosely, based off of Emerald Dawn. So one of the things that we have is just we've chosen some of the highlights of it, so you won't get the entire script because then, well, we'd be going all day. But we're just going to do some of the highlights. We've picked them. They're insane. I hope you love them, so thank you.
Are we good to go?
No, I'm up here.
We're good to go?
Yes.
All right. Interior. Spaceship. Judd lands on the floor. Across the deck is Abin Sur, still seated by the controls. A ray of green light forming Judd's chair emanates from Abin's ring.
The ring and the battery are all you shall require. Be sober, be vigilant. You are one of us now.
How's that?
I am Abin Sur.
Dramatic pause, dramatic music.
I have served the Corps from Space Sector. Sector?
Space Sector?
To 814. I. I'm dying.
Whoa, this sucks.
You have chosen to be my successor.
No!
Wait, open some of this script.
The ring has decided.
Not happening.
Your wants are not my concern. The ring must be charged at the battery of power at regular intervals. Probably every 24 hours. Call for it, and it will appear.
Wait a minute, that costume. This is that green guy. Green Hornet.
Green Lantern.
Lantern? Wait, you're saying I'm a Green Lantern? Stop it. That's mind-blowing! This is, like, the eighth most famous superhero.
The Guardians have chosen you through the ring. The ring has singled you out for your fearlessness and honesty?
No. Are you talking about the Dare Diner? I didn't even win. I finished third. I mean, that's a secret, but you're dying. So, I don't think the network will...
The ring knows your potential to overcome fear.
But I can only eat that stuff because I have a dead spot on my tongue. I bit a section off when I was 5. I was at the carnival riding the teacups, and I already had a sugar buzz from the fried, you know, stuff.
Do not bore me. In my final minutes of life, fear is, for you, an intellectual exercise. It is a method of self-preservation linked to your species' survival instinct.
Judd's phone rings.
Sorry, you believe this thing works out here? Verizon.
Evan doesn't react. Judd picks it up.
It's because he's dead. All right, well, that's our first scene. I'd like to thank our Evan, Sir Alexander. Didn't he do a great job? And Keith Galbeck is over there. He's the one doing the stage direction right now.
Just mention probably that the reason he's picked was because he finished third on a Fear Factor type game show. This isn't Hal Jordan. That's kind of the ability.
Well,
so, yeah, this is
a
character named Judd that would be
okay.
Important to remember, this is a real script.
Oh, okay.
People wrote this and then gave notes on it. And then it still ended up like this.
All right, let's do another section from this.
And also, if anybody wants to read one of these parts, put your hand up, because we'll take you up on stage and you can become a superhero like, you know.
Just like Jack Black.
Superman Lives from Nick Cage. I'll tell you this, we got about 2 more of these little sections to go with Green Lantern. After that, I'm going to prowl the audience and find us a volunteer.
We can take them right now. I don't have to read this.
Oh, you can do it.
All right, let's do it.
It's three. You can do it.
You require training and orientation. We locate you by tracing your ring's activity.
I just mentioned that's Tomar Ray. Anybody know Tomar Ray?
I couldn't grow a beak.
Oh, all of it?
Flashback. Exterior movie theater. Day. Judd is in the back of a long ticket buyer's line for a Chronicles of Narnia type movie. He quietly uses the ring to rotate everything on the street but the line itself. Now in front, he turns around and steps to the box office as the others online, mostly children, are distraught and confused.
I'm a bad man.
Flashback, exterior field, day. Judd has conjured the green original Beatles with his ring. They perform and sing Please Please Me on a green stage. Judd jumps on the stage and grabs John's microphone, taking over the lead vocals. Conjured green girls in the audience scream for Judd as the Beatles continue confused. Judd gratuitously smashes his guitar. Exterior planet OA, continuous.
Yes, all.
Pistachio nuts.
Let us move forward to the book.
The others follow him, flying to a high-tech domed yellow building.
All
right. Just
remember, pistachio nuts.
I believe pistachio, it's supposed to be like a tagline, like a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you've all been saying it for all these years.
Salad, there's the fish Green Lantern dude.
Yep, that was me. Good work, I've been working. Oh, yeah, no fish. All right, have you got our next one?
All right, sure.
Anybody want pizza?
Who wants to? Anybody in the audience actually want to play Sinestro? Anybody want to be Sinestro?
Yeah, we have a Sinestro in the audience.
That would be active. There you go.
All right. Yes. All right. I'm excited for this. Our first volunteer. This is Nate, by the way. Give him a big round. See, now this right here explains the entire Green Lantern movie and why this was going to be a Jack Black movie. All right.
Is it going to be Jennifer again?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Exterior sky, moments later. Sinestro is reciting at the microphone.
Dangerous times call for necessary restrictions. I am but one man, but I will do my very best to keep track of all of your interpersonal communications. I give you my word.
Suddenly, he is grabbed from behind by a giant green hawk. The source of the beam is Judd's brain.
No, Plato, what are you doing?
You're out of control, Cincy.
Plato, your will far exceeds your intellect. I'm restoring your control.
Look, man, maybe I can't handle this either. I'll give you that. But you're like 20 Nixons. I'm calling in the other Green Lanterns.
What?
I don't know what it means.
Sinestro fights through the hawk and makes it bust apart, blowing Judd backwards. Oh, Sinestro fires a series of bullets that whack Judd repeatedly.
No, we didn't pile anything, sorry.
Send them back. We don't need more disordered minds with chaotic methods.
Judd is dazed but angry. He rears his ring back to charge at Sinestro.
I'm not chaotic, Jag.
Whatever you did, don't think of Elmo Titty Wanking Bob.
What was that line again?
Come on, can we
just do that again?
Yes.
Whatever you do, don't think of Elmo Titty Wanking Barbara Walters.
Judd points his ring and fires a green Elmo humping Barbara Walters' chest at Sinestro.
Damn it!
Let the weak mind step aside.
A giant shoe kicks Judd.
I'm not weak.
Judd conjures a huge frying pan that slams Sinestro's head.
Enough! You are not even a Green Lantern!
This is my ring!
Do you really believe that? That the noble Avon Sir's ring would choose you on its own accord?
What are you babbling?
I've had my eye on this planet for years. The varied life forms, the vegetation, the easily molded masses of simpletons.
What the fuck, Sinestro?
And Avon's ring contacted me for help. That was the opening. I cancelled his signal. Then when his ring sought a successor, it was simply a matter of will to redirect it to miss a courageous test pilot and choose an impetuous, weak-minded fool. That's right, Judsy. You were a mistake.
The comet paralyzes Judd, and Sinestro charges at him and headlocks him. He is seemingly about to snap the dazed Judd's neck.
I should bring you before the Guardians for this insubordination, but even they have lost their sight of the need for order. Look how they made me waste time on you.
I want it.
I must end this chaos myself.
Just in time, Judd summons his will and fires his ring straight into Sinestro's face. The blast shoots Sinestro backward.
Ah! I let my guard down. The chaos is in me.
Judd conjures a giant green savage Sinestro with musk hair and a torn outfit.
Stick him!
The savage Sinestro kicks Sinestro in the face, then gleefully musses Sinestro's hair.
No! The chaos is everywhere!
The savage Sinestro rips Sinestro's uniform, then picks his teeth and flings it at Sinestro. Sinestro flees.
I must escape this now!
Green. Oh, okay.
Alright.
That would be way better than Ryan Reynolds. I would
have rather seen that than Ryan. I'd like to put all the exposition on one little screen.
And it was the end of the movie.
Yeah, sorry. We spoiled a movie that's never been made. So if you end up in an alternate universe where this movie was made.
Awesome.
You've probably got other things going on, actually, if that's the case. Like, I still wouldn't go see it.
All right, now everybody has seen what kind of fun Nate had. So, would anybody like to come up and do some reading for Superman? Awesome. All right. Why don't you come up? What's your name?
Mike.
Mike? All right. Nice to meet you.
Get a girl.
Awesome.
All right. Step on up and sit down.
Would you like to stay in the rafters, or do you want to play Nick Cage?
All right, well, you do such a great Nick Cage. Come on.
Yeah. You got to do Nick Cage.
Come on, you got to do Nick Cage.
Yellow there.
Moe is one of the city's finest Nick Cage impressionists.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. Moe's Nick Cage is actually awful, but it's hilarious. Yeah, that's right. Give him a round.
I have no idea how you tell the difference between those two things.
And Jennifer, then you can do Moe's line. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're typing. For now.
When we did this on the show, we all played Lois Lane one at a time.
That's right. I'll take the bullet. I'll do Lois Lane in the last scene.
Woo! All right. Exterior, Mount Rushmore, night. On top of Jefferson's head, looking out and down on Washington to the right, Roosevelt and Lincoln to our left. A breathtaking vista spread out beyond the remains of a picnic dinner rest on a blanket. A small campfire glows before it. Superman and Lois lie together beside the fire, naked, warmly in his crimson cape.
You were right. It's a beautiful view. The stars look so close.
I can hear them.
Tell yourself.
Lois looks at him, surprised.
What do they sound like?
Like they're singing, and I hear the birds in their nests. Across the valley, and the wolves moving in the hills.
Wolves?
Clark smiles. They're not close, and your heart beating. That's my favorite.
It must be strange being you.
It's different being with you. Makes it all right.
Lois turns and looks at him, kisses him softly.
Is it always going to be like this? Grabbing a few hours when we can, trying to make the most of them. It's been 2 years, Clark. I want to get married.
Clark turns away. Not this again. We talked about this.
Have children like normal people.
Clark sits up, naked in the moonlight. Trouble. Lois pulls the cape around her, staring at his back. I'm not normal. I'm not even human. My parents found me in a crater.
Yes, and raised you, and taught you right from wrong. They made you human, made you the man that I love.
Clark turns, looks at her, tormented. Lois, I don't know who I am. I don't even know what I am.
I don't care.
Even if we could make a child. Even if we could make a child, how do you know you could live inside you? How do you know it wouldn't kill you?
I'll take that chance.
I can't. Every morning, I ask myself the same question. To what purpose? For what reason? Why was I sent here? I don't know.
Maybe you're already doing it?
Clark shakes his head no. I'm doing what I do because I can. But that's not an answer. I can feel like it isn't there. It aches inside me until I don't know, but I can't marry you.
I'm gonna save this in case I need
to. Is what we have so awful?
No, it's wonderful. It's just not enough.
Superman looks into her eyes, silent, dying inside.
I don't think we should see each other for a while. Please take me home.
Oh, all right, that's the end of the first scene.
Based on Nick Cage's notes himself. So essentially Nick Cage.
Yeah, Nick Cage wrote that now. All right.
And if you...
Isn't picturing Mo naked in the moon? All right.
There, There was a costume design done for this. Actually, a costume made. Nicolas Cage was going to play this role with a full black mullet. It was the 90s. What could you do?
All right. Who wants to play Luther? We need a Luther.
Sure. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to get you to play the female role, and I'm going to pick a Luther. All right. I'm coming up.
Yeah, female Luther.
Female Luther. You right over there, sir. All right. Yep. Come on up. Yep. Come on. You can do it. All right. Let's go.
I want to get this movie happening again, but with Mo as Nick Cage.
All right, you two are doing the whole scene, so.
And we'll give you this one, and because I'm so clever and you're playing the female, I highlighted it in pink.
That's the kind of planning ahead that we're known for on We.com.
Jeff and Chloe, all right.
Interior, LexCorp Laboratory. Lex tumbles as the Liceropod leaps after him, scrambling away on his backside, terrified, screaming. The snapping jaws lunge toward him.
Get away from me!
Lex runs out of floor. He backs into the wall. The Liceropod rises on his haunches, snarling, prepares to leap for the kill. When? Kitty, horrified, desperately looks for a weapon. Her eyes settle on a kryptonite's titanium cylinder. She grabs it, wrenches it from its base. The power beam instantly dissolves as Kitty swings the heavy cylinder like a club.
Stop beating my Lexi!
The cylinder smashes down on the beast's head again and again and again until the Liceropod slumps to the floor. Still, Kitty drops the cylinder and she cradles Lex.
Lexi, are you okay?
Lex shakes himself back to his senses, tries to get up.
Must stop cylinder.
I did that. Honey, you just rest, everything's okay.
That is the end of the scene. Basically, this is just illustrating that Lex Luthor in this movie is a powerless weakling. Yes. Chloe and Jeff, thank you.
There's another scene with the Nick Cage as Superman. Does anybody else want to do it?
Yeah, no. Does
no.
Else want to try to do
no.
Nick Cage?
Who wants to compete with that Nick Cage? Come on.
All right.
He's standing in shows at Moe's shadow the whole time.
Who wants to? You want to do it? Are you going to do it like Moe?
Do my best.
Awesome!
Woo! So the goal here now is to have this guy as Mo, as Nicolas Cage, as Superman.
I feel like it's a passing of the torch.
We have a Brainiac that we need. Who wants to play Brainiac? Anybody in the audience want to play him, or are we going to throw some up here?
Okay. Brainiac? Okay, Brainiac over there. All right. I'm getting my exercise tonight. It's great. Okay, Brainiac's coming over here. Oh, you got to take off your costume. Oh. Oh. Sorry.
Okay, this is...
We got Baniac. All right, what's your name?
Will you play
Jack? All right.
Step
on up there. I don't know where we'll reach it, but we'll find someplace.
Oh. All right, maybe do that explanation of who we're playing before we get into the script, Mo. Also important to note that one of the parts of this concept is that we don't look at the scripts before we're about to read them live.
So, of course, Superman, Brainiac. Keith will be doing the stage directions. The Brainiac ship, sentient ship, will be played here by Jennifer.
Awesome.
Exterior rooftop. Brainiac watches as his skull ship descends lower, then something silently descends to the rooftop behind him. Something in midnight blue with a blood-red cape. Superman's eyes bore into the back of Brainiac's head. Brainiac feels them. His expression changes. Dread. He slowly turns, very, very surprised. Superman pins him with a stern gaze.
I was wrong. You have to kill me more than twice.
Brainiac turns, furious, wrenches a pipe from the blackened energy beam tower, clutches it like a jagged lance, whirls back, preparing for battle, but Superman isn't there. Brainiac turns confused. A fist smashes his face. He goes flying. The pipe clatters uselessly to the roof. Superman picks him up, flings him at the wall. Smack. Brainiac slides down, dazed. Superman picks him up, starts beating him.
I don't like you. I don't what you did to my parents. What you did to my world. What you did to my friends. And especially what you did to me.
Superman flings Brainiac across the rooftop. Crash! He hits the ground hard, bleeding, beaten, finished. Brainiac watches Superman stalk toward him to end it. He touches the communicator on his tunic. We hear the voice of the Skull Ship.
Yes, my lord?
Can you
get off me? I do. I will. I am coming.
We need a translator for them.
I think you're off.
Woo! Alright, I'm loud enough anyways, but alright, thank you guys. I'll see you later.
Superman, Lois Lane loves being here.
This is all you, Mo.
This is the very end of the movie.
Literally last scene.
It's touching.
Oh, yeah. Should we let Mo do touching? We've got in trouble with that in the past.
All right. Okay, now.
One other part.
All right, who
Chris
we got?
Lamar.
Lois Lane.
Lois Lane, Mamar. I don't know who that is.
Okay, Lois Lane. Sorry, do we have more?
Oh, no,
we have
Lois Lane.
Oh, all right.
All right, the characters are in this scene. It's the end of the movie. We're so Canadian, we're going to end up the delay the show while we're trying to decide who does this. All right, are we good?
All right. Hey! Hi, you can hear me again.
Woohoo!
All right, I know you appreciate this. Anyways, Maggie here is doing Lois Lane. Give her a big round of applause. Yes.
Brett's the guy who bit the bullet and actually read this script. He helped us choose. And so there's a character called Malar, the last knight of Krypton.
You want me to read him?
I'm just wondering.
Or those two unrelated things that you
said. But I'm just saying, who is he?
Oh, okay. Malar is basically, he was there when Superman was born. He came down. He's kind of been like Superman's guardian angel throughout. He's the guy who does the vast majority of the exposition that explains why Nick Cage is doing the things that Nick Cage is doing. Like wearing his shiny black metallic armor.
We could kind of use that in the real world, too. Who does that in the real world?
I want shiny black metallic armor. Okay, I'll call him Malar.
Ready to go?
Chris is doing it.
It's just the one line.
Okay.
I already said the goal.
Okay. Sorry, Nick.
We got more going on than listening to you, Mo. Exterior hillside outside Metropolis, dawn. A clear and sunny morning. A gentle breeze blows, tugging at the green branches of the trees. In the distance, Metropolis glistens like a jewel. Just before us is a stone marker. It reads,
"The last night of Krypton."
Lois lays a bouquet of flowers upon it, rises. Clark Kent stands beside her.
I think you'll like it here. It's a peaceful spot. You never got to see enough of those.
Lois and Clark turn and stroll away. Exterior, another part of the hillside, dawn. Lois and Clark watch the sun rise over the city.
What happens now?
Clark shrugs, thinking, glances skyward.
There are people out there waiting for me, Lois. My people, they need me. I have to find them.
You have people here too.
Clark nods.
I know.
You love two worlds. Clark, you're going to have to choose.
Clark nods.
I have.
Lois smiles.
I know. I'm going with you.
Clark looks at her surprised.
So I'm leaving?
Lois nods with certainty.
I know you. And I know I already lost you once. That was enough.
How do you know you're invited?
I invite it.
Lois stops, smiles, puts her arms around him, kisses him.
Try and stop me.
Clark smiles back. Hold on them, fade out.
Right,
honestly, the stage direction says Clark, period, nods, period. They put drama into the screen direction.
How many people would go see that in the movie theater?
How many now want to pretend that that leads right into Superman Returns?
We got the Catwoman script next.
Okay. The reason is, the interesting thing about this Catwoman script is that you think that a Catwoman movie would have Catwoman in it. Not so in this case. It's directly coming out of Batman Returns, and it seemed like they really desperately wanted to take out all of the
characters you would know.
The characters you would know.
There's like 47 parts and a two-page scene.
All right, so
very small writings. If you want to read it, have good eyes.
I'll tell you what. This is probably going to be wind up being our last one. So I know there's a few people that are in the audience. Let's just bring a whole bunch of people up onto this table, and we're going to go crazy.
Here, to just give you an idea of what we got here, we got characters called Captain God.
Yeah, before you volunteer, know what you're getting into.
You two have been itching the whole day, so come on up.
Spooky? All Spooky's right. A character?
What are your names?
Spooky?
That's three characters. That's three characters?
Round of applause. Okay. How many more do we need, Mo? All right,
and for goodness sake, for Zod's sake, watch out for behind you there.
Yes.
As long as you don't fail,
it's like,
I'll be
like
fine.
Well, I can't guarantee that either. Being on the stage is like working on the Death Star. There are no handrails anyway.
And we are gonna make this stage crumble. Okay.
New stage direction. Chris, give up your seat. Yes. And I will read one line. I will be doing it myself. It's just alone. Which is
also with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is also with
We didn't bring any magnifying glasses for this.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what your names.
Jessica.
Elizabeth, all right. Brilliant.
Who am I?
Thank
you. Who are we?
Yeah, we don't
have any scripts down here, Mo. keep it moving. Time is money.
I want Captain God.
I am that.
All right.
The whole rest of the day, she'll be saying typecasting.
That's right. Yeah, you did great. You are.
Brett, the audience loves Mo now. Like you have stepped over the line.
Wait till they hear my Sylvester Stallone.
I am lost.
All right, let's start this train wreck. Or end it.
After a somersault down through the air, a shocked at her own physicality Selena lands on her feet behind a stack of boxes marked classified gadgetry. The tribal sounds of beating drums can be heard further, freaking her out. Selena squeezes through the stacks of boxes toward the drums. She is in the hideout of the cult of good. The level below Selena and the boxes is decked out with the usual higher-tech, fact-finding machinery found in any good superhero lab. More to the point, at the center of the hideout is a round table around which stand Captain God, Cactus, Spooky, and Adonis, solemnly beating their own drum. They stop so Captain God can speak in his abnormally normal voice.
We are the cult of good, secretly formed without knowledge of each other's identities. We live to make evil die, to serve mankind by... Yeah, you know the rest.
The superheroes loosen up and kick back around the table.
Boss man, what were you going on about last night?
I am the law and I am the Danish.
I don't know what I was saying. I totally phoned it in last night. I haven't been getting a lot of sleep lately.
The crowd bought it.
Crowd always buys it. What do we got?
The shopkeeper on 13th Street won't drop the lawsuit. He still claims that one of the lasers we fired at the Jenkins cannon burned down the store.
I hate innocent bystanders. Why? When will he settle?
God, can I have tomorrow off? My new cereal is coming out, and they want me to sign boxes over at...
On the upper level, Selena huffs into a half-smile down to the strange conversation below. Captain God bellows through his Darth Vader-esque voice box.
Do I have to remind everyone that in 2 days, we'll all be dead? The cult of good will be a memory. I don't want to hear about lawsuits or serials. We have a secret mission.
I still have to call my agent. My techno single just made the Hot 100. Where's the phone?
You have to dial 9 first.
Suddenly, an entering, roaring mammoth hurls the last scene last night, eye-patched leader of the robbers onto the table, chained.
Mammoth bring bad guy. Mammoth not being stupid.
Of course not, Mammoth. It's a mammoth.
And all right.
And scene.
Well, we can do it. What time is it?
We got like 7 minutes.
Okay. Well,
we just have to hospitalize. Let's use who's on stage. So we're let's just do
a really quick of the actual like script lines that are in there. And a little bit of the stage direction, because you know James Cameron at one point was going to be doing Spider-Man. Now everybody thinks, every geek in this room thinks to themselves, yes, James Cameron doing Spider-Man. That's awesome.
No, it's not.
Because James Cameron thinks that Spider-Man is a different hero than we all know he is. James Cameron thinks that Spider-Man is a hero that actually wants to, like, just go up and make sweet love to Mary Jane all the time.
Who's cost? Who did he want? Spider-Man.
That, I don't know. Mo, do you know that?
I do know, I believe Michael Biehn was involved in
Spider-Man. I was going to say.
Michael Biehn, of course.
Do you want to play Spider-Man?
Me?
Yeah, you're Peter Parker. When I see Peter Parker, I see you.
Yeah, you
know. We're all gonna die!
Keith, I want you to be Mary Jane.
Alright, you do this. No, you're... I'm not playing Mary Jane in this scene. That's too much typecasting.
But it's sexy.
I don't know who James Cameron thought the audience of this movie was. I really don't. James Cameron knew comics are not just for kids. That's for sure. All right.
Well, that is very true.
Well, this would be a heavy R-rated Spider-Man. Seriously.
Yeah, if you've already seen Superman naked, well, you'd be seeing Peter Parker naked.
A lot of people in Hollywood seem to want to make superheroes bald. I don't know.
This is a poem script.
Anyways, just...
Sorry, you have no hands. I'm in the scene, man.
All right, let's go.
Yes. Okay, let's do it.
Hey, spoilers, come on. All right. Mary Jane goes alone to her private spot. She is sitting, thinking, when she hears something behind her. She turns as Spider-Man drops down to her and gasps, startled by her sudden presence. She feels a rush of excitement as he offers his hand to help her up. Her answer is a kiss, sweet and soulful, their lips separated by a sheer fabric of the mask. She can feel his breath on her face.
Where are we going?
It's a surprise.
And that's where the music comes in. Cut to the Brooklyn Bridge, a stunning aerial shot. A tiny shape swinging in an arc racing past the support. They go to the Brooklyn Bridge. Let's just go. Go to your line, Alex.
We're skipping all of that?
Yeah, we're skipping all of that. They go to the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to catch up on the naked.
Naked.
Oh,
there it is.
Oh, my God. Okay. Courtship among the spiders is highly ritualized. There is from species to species. Let's not make it on the male spider may circle the female or wave his front legs to signal that he is not brave.
Spider-Man moves in a hypnotic arc around her. He raises his hands in a dance-like movement. He lowers his hands.
The female usually signals her willingness by an uncharacteristic passivity.
MJ takes a deep breath. Her lip trembles. Her knees are weak. Her eyes, though, are steady, gazing at the silhouette before her. She doesn't move or speak. He moves closer.
In certain crab spiders, such as Zyticus. Oh, sorry, poor voice. Strands of silk to the female. Strands of silk. Tiny.
Spider-Man moves. Alex also reads 50 Shades of Grey on it's available on audible.com. Spider-Man moves his hands gracefully across her, and she sees the sheerest silk webbing glinting in the moonlight. First one wrist, then the other. Hypnotic movement in the moonlight. Her arms are bound to the wall. Her breathing gets more rapid.
Since the female can break free any time, the bombs have only symbolic significance.
The male must be very bold to take such liberties with a predatory female.
Yes. He is very, very bold. But he must also trust her.
He moves very close.
Close your eyes.
He removes his mask and kisses her. Their mouths move very slowly and very sensuously, devour each other. Peter and MJ are locked together. He is mesmerizing, gentle, powerful. He pushes up her skirt. They make love high above the world. She doesn't look.
James Cameron's Spider-Man.
Everybody on our panel. We got Keith Kalbeck. We got Jennifer LeBlanc. We got Chris Beck. We got Bo Christensen. We got Alexander Finbo, Renegade Arts Entertainment. And I'm Brett Monroe. We are We Talk Podcasts. I hope you had a great time. Hey, who here would like to see us do more of these crazy scripts next year at the Expo? Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you guys gave yourselves a round of applause to everybody who came up here on the stage. Enjoy the time.